You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
The NPA divergence issue, that is the non-performing assets divergence issue, is one that has dogged the private sector banks in India for a while now. We spoke about this in relation to Axis Bank and the bank we will be talking about in some detail today, Yes Bank. Yes Bank's MD and CEO and one of the bank's founders has also had to experience some divergence of late. The recent leadership crisis where Rana Kapoor was denied an extension of his tenure by the Reserve Bank of India and was asked to step down in January 2019 caused the Yes Bank stock to take an almost 30% tumble and more recently led to the divergence of Rana Kapoor from the 100 richest Indians list by Forbes. The almost cinematic story of Yes Bank and its charismatic protagonist is what we will be digging deeper into today. Every great screenplay has one essential quality. It seems like a palpable slice of real life. And all riveting real life stories have that in common. They sound like they belong in a screenplay. My name is Rakesh, and on this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control, we try and explore the reasons why, as Fortune India put it, there is no quick fix for Yes Bank. And indeed, unless it's an adhesive goo in a tube, a quick fix solution does not, well, fix anything. Least of all, the fortunes of a massive private bank they call Yes.
The Deep Dive podcast series. All you need to know about what's up with Yes Bank.
First, let's start with the beleaguered protagonist. Coming back to the Fortune India piece, author T. Surinder begins by calling Rana Kapoor, billionaire and the founder, managing director and CEO of Yes Bank, an inimitable risk taker, and says with some amount of flair, and I quote, "If there's a font to describe Rana Kapoor, the CEO and managing director of one of India's fastest growing private banks, it is braggadocio." In bold, in a style not so typical of bankers, Kapoor loved the limelight and courted it relentlessly. He was in newspaper advertisements, in coffee table books, and often spotted with politicians. Such was his draw that the country's oldest chamber of commerce, ASSOCHAM, got its moment in the sun when he helmed it as president recently. The good thing, however, was Kapoor built his public persona to aid what he considered was his only mission. Yes Bank. It was as if he had pinned the bank's logo on his lapels. It would go everywhere he went. They were inseparable. A go-getter, Kapoor left no stone unturned to bring the bank business at the end of it all. Unquote. And then, even as we were putting this podcast together, news broke to remind us that Rana was not the only protagonist in the Yes Bank story. Mint reported in the early hours of the 7th of October 2018 that Yes Bank's estranged promoters, Rana Kapoor and Madhu Kapoor, that is Kapoor with a U, have initiated moves to reach an out-of-court settlement. What was the feud about? Well, we'll get there in some time. Mint went on to say, and I quote, "Both sides have begun preliminary talks to withdraw a long-drawn and bitter legal case against each other and put an end to their decade-old feud. If taken to its logical conclusion, the move will remove uncertainties surrounding the bank's succession plan, simplify the board's functioning, and possibly help burnish the bank's stained credentials." Unquote. Madhu Kapoor, Kapoor with a U, is of course the wife of the late Ashok Kapoor, Rana's brother-in-law and the co-founder of Yes, who had unfortunately been killed in the 2008 terror attack at the Oberoi Hotel in Mumbai. At the time of the attack, Madhu and Ashok were together, but were eventually separated in a stampede and she made it out alive, while he unfortunately did not. Shagun Gogia, Madhu's daughter, has been at the forefront of this battle, which, according to her, was needed to prevent Rana Kapoor from ring-fencing the still grieving family of Ashok Kapoor. Mint cited a source close to both families, and I quote, "Withdrawal of the legal battle will benefit the bank's board, shareholders, employees, and ultimately the customers." Unquote. The move, according to The Daily, follows the Reserve Bank of India's recent directive to Yes Bank to restrict Managing Director and CEO Rana Kapoor's tenure till the 31st of January 2019. The central bank's order has forced the bank's board to enter into a tricky and lengthy search process due to the bank's complex Articles of Association, that is AOA, which, among other conditions, require both sides to agree to any appointment to the board. Analysts say that if the settlement takes place, the appointment of directors on the Yes Bank board will be hassle-free in the future. Unquote. Post the demise of Ashok Kapoor, the issue of appointments has been a rather contentious battle between his heirs and Rana. Suresh Ganapathy of Macquarie Research echoed the same view, saying, and I quote, "The move will be beneficial for the bank since the current disagreement over appointing whole-time directors on the board will no longer be present if the promoters put an end to their fight." Unquote. According to a source, the turf war between the two promoters has been preventing the bank's board from functioning smoothly, and a settlement will enhance professionalism at the bank, improve its credibility, and restore the confidence of shareholders as well as the employees. So what is the conflict? The conflict, as is common knowledge by now, began between Yes Bank's promoters, that is Kapoor with a 00 and Kapoor with a U, when the board had declined to appoint Shagun Gogia because it was felt she might not meet the RBI's fit and proper criteria. In 2013, Madhu and Shagun approached the Bombay High Court, seeking greater say in appointing directors and wanted the court to uphold their right to jointly nominate directors. In June 2015, the Bombay High Court quashed the appointment of certain directors to the board, ruling that Madhu Kapoor and Rana Kapoor have the right to jointly nominate directors while also turning down Gogia's appointment to the board. The ruling has been challenged before a division bench, where it is now pending. Problems were compounded on the 17th of September when the banking regulator rejected the Yes Bank board's request for a three-year extension in Rana Kapoor's tenure, giving the bank only until the 31st of January 2019 to find a successor. Amid these uncertainties, the bank's stock between the 20th of August and the 28th of September tumbled by a staggering 59% from its high of 404 rupees to 166.15 rupees on the Bombay Stock Exchange. The stock has slightly recovered now, but is still trading about 45% down from its August 20th levels. There were, of course, more plot twists in store. According to reports, even as the bank has formed a search committee on Friday last week to appoint Kapoor's successor, the selection process may turn out to be tough and long drawn because any candidate selected by the committee will still need approval from both the warring sides. The search panel will have to hit the refresh button should there be any disagreement between the two sides in approving potential candidates. Both sides will have to agree on three common names before the process can move forward. The uncertainty on the issue came to fore when the board on the 25th of September decided to promote Rajat Monga, who is the current senior group president of financial markets at Yes Bank, and Pralay Mondal as executive directors, subject to approval from the Reserve Bank of India. In response, Madhu Kapoor, in a letter dated the 28th of September, said these appointments had to be struck down as per the June 2015 Bombay High Court ruling. She alleged that these earlier appointments were done without consultation with the co-founders. Madhu Kapoor has since requested the board to not take any action contrary to the RBI directive and the court judgment. Madhu has also made it clear that she seeks a quick resolution because she wants to prevent any long-time setback to the bank and its stakeholders because of the current challenging situation. She is also aware of the long-term consequences of a bank grappling to find a leader and has requested the board to expedite the process, but of course, keeping in mind the High Court ruling as well as her own say in the matter. Let's now take a quick look at how it all began for Yes Bank. As Fortune India put it, and I quote, "Kapoor built his banking mettle starting in the early 80s after starting out as a fresher at Bank of America. After nearly a 16-year stint there, he worked briefly in ANZ Grinlays, where he spent a big chunk of his time negotiating with Netherlands-based Rabo Bank to set up local operations in India. Kapoor, his brother-in-law Ashok Kapoor, and Harkirat Singh and Rabo came together to start Rabo Bank in India. Rana Kapoor quickly became synonymous with Rabobank and built a big franchise, lending to the agricultural sector, especially plantation firms. He would lend money to folks for buying yachts and other such goodies, something that other banks wouldn't have done. If the collateral was good, Kapoor was game." Unquote. In 2003, when the Reserve Bank of India was giving away bank licenses, Rana Kapoor and Ashok Kapoor pitched in for one, and Yes Bank started operations in mid-2004. Amid the mushrooming new banks, Rabobank became a wholly owned subsidiary of its parent and got a stake in Yes Bank. According to writer T. Surender, Rana Kapoor began building Yes Bank brick by brick, but to compete and grow quicker than his larger counterparts, he had to do something different. He targeted the kind of clients he did at Rabo, the on-the-edge debtors who wanted money badly and were willing to pledge their best assets, even if the interest rates were high. Some of Kapoor's big clients at the time were the likes of Deccan Chronicle Holdings, which later went defunct. Kapoor lent to the group early but sold the loans to other banks just before Deccan's financials got worse. Kapoor had the uncanny sense in the lending business that did not go by the book. Similarly, Kapoor was also one of the early lenders to real estate developer Lodha Group, even as its projects were running way behind schedule. Unquote. Since its listing in 2005 till date, the Yes Bank stock has risen by 4,378% in absolute terms, generating a compounded annual return, or CAR, of 34%. According to our own head of money control research, Madhu Chanda Day, this wealth creation has been accompanied by a similar performance in business. Over the last decade, that is between 2006 and 2018, the profitability of the bank had grown 42% compounded annually. Business growth has been equally supportive, with total assets, advances, and deposits growing at a compounded rate of 43%, 77%, and 42% respectively, advances growing as much as 77%. Before the recent troubled times, Yes Bank outperformed most of its peers, and the market has rewarded the stock for just that. The 28% and 34% growth in deposits and loans respectively in the past 4 years had silenced critics. Consequently, its share in deposits and advances of the system had improved to 1.7% and 2.4% respectively from 0.9% in FY14. The bank had succeeded in taking up the share of low-cost CASA to 37% by end of FY18 from 22% 4 years ago, and in the process managed to improve its net interest margin as well. However, being a corporate-focused bank, what surprised the markets about Yes Bank was its pristine asset quality. It had a gross NPA of just 1.28% in FY18, and this in the troubled landscape of the Indian corporate sector. It was widely filed by reporters across the board to be too good to be true. As it turned out, there was some truth to it. And this is where we address the issue of Yes Bank and NPA divergence. We've addressed this issue earlier, but there's no time like now to learn something all over again because, well, practice makes everyone perfect. Side plot is NPA divergence. What is NPA divergence? It's the difference between what the banks cite as the amount of bad loans they have versus what the RBI, post its own assessment, says the amount is. So if you've studied in colleges where they encourage you to self-assess in the moment of honesty, etc., this is essentially the difference between the grades you give yourself versus the grades you actually deserve by way of marking by a professor. Except in this case, it's loans worth thousands of crores of rupees and not just grades A, B, C to F. For example, Axis Bank reported 6,087 crore rupees as gross non-performing assets or GNPAs in FY16. As assessed by the RBI, that is the professor, the GNPAs were in fact 15,565 crore rupees, implying a sharp divergence of 9,478 crore rupees. SBI, for another example, reported a bad loan divergence of a whopping 23,239 crore rupees in FY17. Soumen Chatterjee, head of research at Guinness Securities, speaking to the Economic Times, said, and I quote, "The RBI is snuffing out any hope bankers had about non-compliance being dealt with gently. Senior management now knows that anyone not playing by the central bank's rulebook will be shown the door," unquote. And the RBI, no doubt, has been sinking its teeth into the private banking sector. It is in the process of cleaning up an overhang of more than $210 billion of stressed assets in the Indian banking system. The amount of stressed assets that the Indian banking system has is among the highest in the world. To revive lending in Asia's third largest economy is therefore super vital. Last year, the RBI ordered lenders to come clean in exchange filings if the difference between the soured credit reported in their results and as assessed in subsequent central bank reviews amounted to more than 15%. The Economic Times reported that Yes Bank also later reported a discrepancy of 15%, except it was actually 15 plus 300% at 315%, one of the highest in the industry. Just for comparison, the difference for Axis Bank was 26% and the difference for Bank of India was 27% and for the State Bank of India, 21%. For Yes Bank, it was 315%. Yes Bank has argued that the impact of the divergence on the bank's results was small because it subsequently recovered many of the loans labeled as problematic by the Reserve Bank of India. And if you take a look at the numbers, Yes Bank reported gross NPAs for FY17 at 2018 crore rupees. But gross NPAs of Yes Bank, according to the Reserve Bank of India, was 8,373.8 crore rupees. The resulting divergence was nearly three times the reported amount. Returning to Rana Kapoor, the buzz about the man, according to Fortune India at least, may not have been all that good, but there were many admirers of his financial acumen. Like we said earlier, the initial 5 years of Yes Bank whizzed by, with the bank growing its advances and deposits by nearly 100% compounded annual growth rate, that is CAGR, following it up with 28% over the next five. According to Fortune, in the last 2 years, even as bad loans have piled up in general for the banking sector, Yes Bank's lending grew higher at 40%, while its deposits grew 30%. Its profit after tax at 28% was among the best in the industry. Despite his track record, the RBI truncated Kapoor's term at the helm of the bank, and that has caused the bank's market capitalization to fall steeply. Even as it became evident that the Reserve Bank of India was not going to extend his term, Yes Bank stock crashed, losing 30% of its value in one day and lost more than 50% in the next 10 days. Bankers and analysts say that the recovery in its value will be slow and protracted, as there are slim chances that Kapoor's replacement will resort to doing edgy business, especially under the now overtly alert Reserve Bank of India, unquote. Fortune India does not overtly see any connection between the family feud and the changing fortunes of Rana, and says that the prime reasons cited on why the RBI didn't extend Kapoor's term is that he did not review his asset quality as per the central bank's latest norms that came into force in 2015-2016. To weed out the problem of evergreening of loans and preempt loan accounts going bad, RBI's then governor, Raghuram Rajan, laid down an onerous procedure for asset quality review. To take an example, even if Company A did not appear bad on Yes Bank books, but was defaulting on its loans from other banks, loans to Company A by all banks had to be classified as doubtful. This increased the delinquent loans for banks, but many bank managements took a rather lenient approach so that they don't raise the ire of their boards and investors. Last year, all big private sector banks were caught reporting numbers that they deemed correct and were warned by the Reserve Bank of India. Axis Bank Chief Shikha Sharma's term, which was extended by the RBI, was later withdrawn, ostensibly for the same reason. In the case of Yes Bank, Kapoor was confident that some of the loan accounts that needed to be classified as bad were his old accounts, and in Yes Bank's judgment, they were good as he had solid collaterals against them. That was clearly not acceptable to the Reserve Bank, and rightly so, as the central bank has had to shoulder the blame for letting the delinquent loan problems reaching a tipping point, leading to the collapse of several public sector banks. In fact, the RBI is said to have fined a large private sector bank and passed strictures against some of its senior management in the current financial year. The bank has not reported the fine to stock exchanges, as it considered the amount not material in nature. Some analysts are now of the opinion that without the maverick Rana Kapoor leading the way with his unorthodox way of granting risky loans, Yes Bank will have to make do with more sedate growth rates. According to Fortune India, Kapoor's replacement will have to do something radical before Yes Bank gets its mojo back. We've been reporting on Money Control how over the past few weeks, shares of Yes Bank have come under massive selling pressure. On September 27th alone, the stock price tumbled by over 9%, wiping out 4,642 crore rupees from its market valuation. The stock dived 9.14% to end at 203 rupees 20 paise on the Bombay Stock Exchange. Just talking of the 27th of September, intraday, it slumped 9.6% to 202 rupees on the National Stock Exchange. At NSE, shares of the company plunged 9.16% to close at 203.25 rupees. The company's market valuation fell by 4,642.47 crores to 46,924.53 crores on the Bombay Stock Exchange. We then reported that the stock was the worst hit among the blue chips on both the key indices, and in terms of equity volume, 57.98 lakh shares of the company were traded on the BSE, and over 9 crore shares changed hands at the NSE during the day. Shares of Yes Bank rose by nearly 2% on the 26th of September, a day after the company's board decided to seek at least a 3-month extension from RBI for its MD and CEO, Rana Kapoor, beyond the 31st of January 2019. To make matters worse, Citigroup, the global investment bank, which maintains its Sensex target of 37,300 for March 2019, has removed Yes Bank from its model portfolio post the recent downgrade and added Coal India in its stead. As I speak, the stock price of Yes Bank Limited on the Bombay Stock Exchange is up 6.69% from Friday. That is about 14 rupees 10 paise up at 220 rupees 30 paise. On the National Stock Exchange too, it is trading at 220 rupees 40 paise, up 6.99%. Obviously, this is a recovery from the 52-week low of 165 rupees that we saw on the 28th of September, but is certainly not the kind of 52-week highs that we've seen on the 20th of August 2018, merely a couple of months ago, which was at 404 rupees. Today, on the 8th of October, it is one of the better-performing stocks on Dalal Street. But if we are talking about a story with an overbearing protagonist, we have but to end with him. Like a cinematic hero, Rana Kapoor refuses to leave the ring without a fight. Despite facing RBI action for underreporting of total bad loans worth 10,531 crore rupees for two consecutive fiscal years, that is FY 16 and 17, and in response to queries by National Stock Exchange, Yes Bank, with Rana still at the helm, has denied any window dressing of corporate loans to hide its non-performing asset status or concealing bad loans, manipulating stock price or more. The lender, according to Money Control, has refuted allegations that it inflated its share price ahead of key fundraising activities. In a filing with the National Stock Exchange, it said, and I quote, "The bank has been regularly making disclosures in terms of SEBI circular on disclosure of divergences in the asset classification and provisioning by banks dated 18th of July 2017. As mandated and required under regulations, the bank has been making all disclosures to stakeholders on NPA divergence-related findings made by the regulator," unquote. This claim was also supported by statutory auditors BSR and Company on a quarterly basis, according to Yes Bank. We had reported that on being questioned if the rise in NPAs was being noted by the audit committee, Yes Bank had claimed that its gross NPA ratios were among the finest in the banking industry. While the fine print continues to get denser amid this to-and-fro exchange, Rana decided to have his say and took to, well, Twitter recently to state that his shares of the bank are invaluable and will remain with him forever. Like diamonds. He wrote, and I quote, "In this leadership transition at Yes Bank, I continue to remain fully committed to the interests of the bank and all its stakeholders. I will be fully guided by the board of directors of Yes Bank and the Reserve Bank of India," unquote. He went on to add, and I quote, "After I dimit office as MD and CEO of Yes Bank, I will never ever sell my Yes Bank shares. I will eventually bequeath my Yes Bank promoter shares to my three daughters and subsequently to their children with a request in my will stating not to sell a single share, as diamonds are forever," unquote. Kapoor, Rana Kapoor, holds 10.66% stake in Yes Bank, making him the largest shareholder and promoter of the mid-sized private bank. Madhu Kapoor holds 7.6% in Yes Bank. Perhaps that's the problem. V.G. Kannan, who is the CEO of Indian Banks Association, speaking to the Economic Times, said that one of the issues dogging the Indian private banking system is that promoters are also leading the banks, which is precisely the case with Rana Kapoor and Yes Bank. He said, and I quote, "One thing which the Reserve Bank of India has been telling is that banks should be headed by professional bankers. And this could be a time for the RBI to push for a professional banker, not in the sense that Mr. Rana Kapoor is not a professional banker, but he has a majority stake in the company and there could be a clash of interest, and where a professional banker without any holding the company would make sense." He went on to say that it would always be a better idea to have professional people on board with a very nominal stake in the companies so that there is a total diversity on the board. So, well, as you can see, this story has family drama, tragedy, a hint of intrigue, and some solid grandstanding on a platform that has come to be the place to do that, Twitter. As to how the screenplay will unspool further, well, stay tuned, and we promise to keep you updated. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.